Remember in Ezekiel 16:49-50, the reason for striking down Sodom and Gomorrah is not the homosexual act per se, although that's a part of it. It's the fact that the home has been given no sanctity in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're actually going in and they're going to violate the privacy of that person's home. And I think that's exactly what is going on here. The privacy of every family is at risk when the male-female human nature that comes out of the family is not being recognized.
On the feature today, a look at the underlying philosophy behind transgender rights. In the news, censorship in Hamilton, a new twist on abortion, and more inconsistencies in the way we treat the unborn.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
The city of Hamilton, Ontario, has removed several billboards on bus shelters, signs which had been put there by the local constituency association of the Christian Heritage Party. Former CHP candidate Jim Enos.
The bus shelter poster image was that of the back of a man. He had a jacket on and a baseball cap. He's beginning to push open a door that said ladies' showers. And then the caption above him said competing human rights, dot, dot, dot. And below him says, where is the justice?
The city pulled those ads after just 8 days. They were supposed to be up for a month. Eno says all they were trying to do was engage in a public discussion after the city decided earlier this year to essentially make public washrooms and other facilities gender neutral.
The purpose of the bus shelters and flyers was a public awareness campaign because we feel that it's public policy and therefore it's public information and it's subject to public scrutiny. So we just wanted to ensure that as much as the public was informed at least of what was going on. The city took their action on the bus shelter, but we also had already delivered 2,400 flyers in different areas all spread out wide, so covered the whole region of Hamilton.
When we talked to him last week, Eno said the city hasn't heard the last of this, but he wouldn't specify what kind of appeal action might be coming. A sad story out of Ottawa, a 45-year-old woman went in for in vitro fertilization. The procedure was successful, and she was going to have twins. Then, a shocking development.
After babies are growing, they recommend to her that she get a selective reduction, which is an abortion for one of the twins that she was carrying. Mount Sinai Hospital in Toronto said they wouldn't do it for healthy twins, and there appears to have been some moral objections on the part of the doctor, and so Sunnybrook in Toronto did it without any questions.
Andrea Moros with Cardiff's Family says this is really disturbing for several reasons.
These twins are siblings, and you in other circumstances know precisely how close twins are. And the other part of it that distresses me so greatly is that the IVF industry does this, I believe, as a matter of routine. They don't have terribly high success rates, and then when they do succeed, they go ahead and recommend the destruction of one of the children they've just created. So very clearly they're not thinking of this as creating children, or they're in a very odd zone where they, up to a certain point, can justify it for themselves morally.
She's written about this on her pro-woman, pro-life blog. We link to the piece from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. And another illustration of the inconsistencies inherent in the way we treat the unborn. We need a law's Mike Schutten.
A car hit somebody who was in a crosswalk. The woman was 27 years old. This happened in Quebec City. The woman was pregnant and she died as a result of her injuries. But before she died, the medical staff were able to safely deliver her baby girl. It's not clear as to how far along she was pregnant, but the latest we've heard is that the girl is doing well and they've received an outpouring of love from the community in which they reside.
The inconsistency? Mike says it's actually pretty clear.
You don't want to be seen as just capitalizing on somebody's tragedy to promote your own agenda. But the reality here is that if this baby girl had died as the result of a violent crime, the little girl would have not counted. The criminal justice system would have not viewed this baby girl as a human being worthy of protection. And that's exactly what we're striving so hard for with the Molly Matters campaign, is that women who choose life for their children and then that life is taken through some violent criminal act, that child needs to be recognized.
And kind of a related story that's even stranger. It's from Langley, BC, where there was a house fire. The house was saved. There were no people inside, but there were some pets in the house, including three baby kittens. Firefighters used special pet oxygen masks to save those little cats. Back with more after this.
Transgenderism, pornography, and our culture of death. These are heavy topics. Join us this fall on our speaking tour as we share what ARPA is doing to proactively address these difficult and pressing issues. We invite you to participate and help change things for the good. Although the foundations are crumbling, we have hope. From September 26th to October 15th, we will be in Manitoba, Ontario, and BC to educate, equip, and encourage you to make positive change in our political culture. Visit arpacanada.ca for event details in your area.
And we're back on the program. Over the summer, the Ontario government made a major move in the area of so-called transgender rights. It's decided it will no longer specify gender on marriage licenses and will start issuing driver's licenses and medical cards without any specific gender on them, if people ask for that. To talk about this development, I've reached Dr. Scott Masson. He's an associate professor of English at Tyndale University College in Toronto. Dr. Masson, welcome to Lighthouse News.
Thanks, and great to be with you.
This whole issue of the transgenderism in Ontario has now moved into ID that's being issued by the government. You can get a driver's license or an OHIP card without specifying gender anymore. First of all, what are some of the practical implications here? I mean, obviously there's got to be some issues when you issue a driver's license with no gender identity.
Oh man, yeah. I mean, it's hard to know where to begin here. It's trying to deal with a genuine issue of people who suffer gender dysphoria. I mean, 41% of these poor people try and take their lives at some point. But the studies show that when you actually change your sexual identity and have successful surgeries, the suicide attempts go up. So affirming people in that seems to me to be counterproductive to begin with. But the specifics of this, what happens if I get pulled over and whatever I got pulled over for is going to land me in prison? Where's the police officer going to put me? Are they going to put me in with men, women? There's no gender neutral cell. I'll have to be put in with one or the other. And in either case, I think there's going to be some problems, not just for the gender neutral identifying person, but for the others. And we can see this playing out in various spheres right now, both in public life and in private life. So there are these gender inclusive washrooms and change rooms, which are being put in public schools and in other public squares. My question on that is simply, if these are truly inclusive, then why are they not recognizing all the various distinctions of gender or sexual differentiation? They're not actually inclusive at all. They're getting rid of differentiation and calling it inclusive. But so it's got the label of inclusive, but what it's doing is excluding male and female sexual differentiation. Now, the effect of getting rid of the sexually differentiated washrooms, change rooms, etc., is to get rid of all personal privacy for men and women. Women in particular, I think this is going to hurt women and their sense of safety in public spaces more than anyone. It's going to allow predators access to these places. I'm not talking about the transgender people. I'm talking about people in general. If I, as a man, can walk into a woman's washroom and say I'm a woman, people are going to feel like they can't say anything. So it's allegedly inclusive, it's allegedly fair, it's allegedly ethical, but I actually think it's not helping the patient so much as it is curing the doctor, if you can forgive the analogy. It's compelling us to be blind to the things we can see with our own eyes.
What's the underlying issue here? I mean, what's really going on, and what does it tell us about the state of our society?
Oh, man. Okay. I've been thinking about this for a long time. The clear thing that's going on, and I think everybody can agree to this, the state is going well beyond its historic mandate. I don't think it's far-fetched to say that this is playing God, because what we're doing by making this gender-neutral sexual identity orientation, whatever you want to call it, you're determining what human nature is. That's what the state's doing. So that's the first point. In that process, they are seeking to, and I think this is an explicit agenda if you look at the writing on it, they're seeking to eradicate what is normative about human nature, which is binary sexual differentiation, so male, female. And since it's the government that is doing this, they are leading a rebellion against the very nature that God has ordained for human beings. And they're also thereby leading a rebellion against the normativity of the procreation of the human race. We've made the act of a man and a woman normally creating a family, procreating. We've, in some ways, by the inclusion, we've excluded that as a normal thing. So in seeking a fair, ethical, and equitable treatment of people who are, as I said at the outset, clearly psychologically distressed, in need of help, what we are seeing is that a homonormativity is being imposed on the entire populace. by our government. When I say homonormativity, I'm not referring to homosexuality. I'm using the Greek adjective homo, which just means the same, as the norm for everyone. Everyone is treated as the same. So in the policy which they call inclusivity, what we're doing is excluding the male and female binary differentiation. The consequences of this are serious and profound, because it's not only that our identity as male and female, which has the most basic of implications for our personal interaction with others, it's not only that that has been sort of blotted out so that we should disregard it as if we could do that or the government could do that just by fiat decree. The more insidious implication that we will be prosecuted and persecuted if we want to hold on to that. It is an attack, government-led, on human nature. And of necessity, that presses the political and the public sphere into the realm of the family and the private sphere. And this is the further implication. I'm just digging down on this. The government has just tacitly stated in the simple matter of health cards and driver's license that the realm of the family and of the private sphere is its direct concern, and it is legitimate for it to directly involve itself in that area. And that means it's pushing itself right into the family, saying that it has authority and legitimacy. Now, this is an implication, but it has authority and legitimacy in the creation and nurturing of children. Let me get back now to the economic aspect of it. Why is this all going on? Why is the high-tech companies, why are the multinationals seemingly kowtowing to this? It seems to me that what is going on here is the technological commodification of people, and it's big business to make of mankind a thing that can be commodified, can be enhanced, can be perfected, whether it's through biotechnology or whether it's through miniaturization, whether it's through supplementation, so transhumanism, the perfection of human nature, or if it's just trying to get rid of it altogether. This is the insidious part of the agenda, and it is totalitarian. The person that is the key thinker on this is Hannah Arendt. She wrote a work in 1951 called The Origins of Totalitarianism, and I'm going to read a direct quote here. She said that the aim of all totalitarian ideologies is, and I quote, "not the transformation of the outside world or the revolutionizing transmutation of society, but the transformation of human nature itself."
You almost sound like a conspiracy theorist. Forgive me.
I understand that, but let me look at the clear implications of this. To be male and female is to be human. First thing you ask a person when they've had a baby is it a boy or is it a girl? And as a consequence, we've got a whole system of rights that have been established based on that personal human nature. They've been hard won. If you look at human history, the idea that every person bears the image of God pushes strongly against the idea that the state is lord over them. It was the case in Rome. It's been the case all over the world. These are human rights. They're personal rights. We have the rights as persons before the power of the state, and the state is limited in its power and authority. Modern technology has allowed us to empower scientists, government workers, to be able to gain power over human nature and to redefine it. So it's a technologically empowered totalitarian state version of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you want to make it a conspiracy, let's go full in on that. And the reason I say it's Sodom and Gomorrah is because where the family and the private sphere have no sanctity, and privacy will not be acknowledged as a legitimate good, and that's what's going on in the washrooms and elsewhere, there can be no hospitality, because the home is the place of hospitality. And remember in Ezekiel 16:49-50, that's what the reason is given for striking down Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not the homosexual act per se, although that's a part of it. It's the fact that the sanctity of the home has been given no sanctity in Sodom and Gomorrah. They're actually going in, and they're going to violate the privacy of that person's home. And I think that's exactly what is going on here. The privacy of every family is at risk when the male-female human nature that comes out of the family is not being recognized. The public sphere has totally swallowed up the private sphere. So, gosh, could I make it more alarmist than that? No. But I actually see that that is exactly what's going on here.
Dr. Masson, very enlightening. We're out of time. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpaccanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.